that letting go and that processing has to happen first. And this may be the way that God wants to show up, not only in the situation to do a miracle around the situation, but he wants to help us take that trust to the next level. He wants to release some things in us that have nothing to do with the situation, but that are tied to it.
Hi, I'm Alicia Michelle, and as a trained and certified Christian mindset coach, I've helped hundreds of Christian women discover brain science-based mindset tools to help them grow closer to God and break free from anxiety, perfectionism, people-pleasing, and feeling like they're never enough. The Christian Mindset Coach is the award-winning podcast that shows you how to use simple brain science principles and biblical truth to renew your mind for lasting confidence, joy, and peace. I'm so glad you're here. Grab a cozy spot and let's get started. Hey, it's Alicia. Ever felt like you're never enough, no matter how hard you try? If you're ready to break free from striving, pleasing others, and proving that you're good enough, you've got to sign up for my free workshop, Break Free from Feeling Never Enough. Maybe you've heard that God says you're enough, but for some reason you still struggle with living like you're enough. I understand, and I want to walk you through a proven brain science method I've used with hundreds of women in this free training. Sign up now and let's get started at vibrantchristianliving.com/mind. Hello there, and welcome to today's episode of The Christian Mindset Coach with Alicia Michelle. This is a part two of a two-part episode on learning how to surrender, how to step into surrender when you can't stop trying to fix your life, trying to just take over and release something that you know God has asked you to release. So in part one, we had talked about what keeps us from trusting. What does active surrender actually look like? And we also talked about what happens when we do surrender. What are some of the attacks of the enemy when we do choose to surrender in a situation? So be sure to check out part one, episode 186, if you missed that last week before we get into today's episode. Today, we're going to pivot, still talking about this situation of surrender, but we're going to talk about the how. How do we actually make surrender happen? I'm going to share with you 8 ways that we can put ourselves in that posture of active surrender. How? How do we do this? What is the posture of active surrender? Again, reminding us that we can't control that situation, that God may be telling us to sit down, stop controlling it, but we can, what he does call us to do is to control our posture. Posture, how we show up, how we position ourselves throughout the situation. So here are 8 ways that I am practicing right now, 8 things that I can encourage you to do as well to keep yourself in that posture of active, godly surrender. Number one, keep pursuing in prayer. Keep talking to God about it. There's a beautiful story in the Gospels of the persistent widow who keeps coming to the judge, who keeps saying, please help me in this situation. Please step in. We are called to continue to keep knocking, keep asking, keep seeking God. And part of our time in this surrendered wilderness, so to speak, is that we are connecting with God on a deeper level. We're trusting him. We're dependent on him in a new way. And that's going to open up a new level of intimacy with the Lord. So keep pursuing the situation before the Lord about it. At the same time, number two, watch how you pray about it. Are you praying with a desire for God to answer, to move, to act? Almost like commanding God to do something. I have been guilty of this numerous times. And I find when I get into that kind of a prayer mindset that it becomes, my prayers become a demanding, God, you need to perform for me, versus a hands-off prayer that Jesus prayed, not my will, but yours be done. That kind of, Lord, why aren't you answering? Why aren't you doing something? Don't you see? Please help. Please intervene. That only increases our anxiety. That's not helping us. It may be true that God needs to intervene, that God needs to step on these people and do this and change that and blah, 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 all the things. But if prayer is about releasing the situation to God and asking him to act on our behalf, we have to go, okay, have we asked him and told him about what we need and what's going on here? Yes. Okay. If we've done that, then the prayers after that really are, Lord, keep my heart in the right place. Keep my heart in the right place. It's funny. This came up the other day. You think you're kind of like, okay, I think my heart's in the right posture here. I think I'm doing okay. But it's a continual watching and mindset in prayer, right?
So the other day I was just working through something in my journal about the situation that I'm walking through. And I remember thinking, oh, okay, yes, that's exactly what needs to happen. I know God needs to allow this person to have this realization. God, will you allow this person to have this realization? That'll make it work out. Then this, then this. And it was I just felt in the moment. Have you ever had that, like, Holy Spirit just kind of look at you like, are you kidding me right now? Like, are you nuts? Do you really think that you need to tell me what this person needs to believe in order to change a situation? Like, I've been sitting around waiting for you to figure this out. Oh, thank you, Alicia, so much for figuring this out. So now I know how to respond to it. I mean, it's just ludicrous to think about. So it was a humbling moment again to say, okay, Lord, yes. And often in the prayers of these kind of surrendered moments, it's a prayer to help us through the grief of it, through the pain of it. That letting go and that processing has to happen first. And this may be the way that God wants to show up, not only in the situation to do a miracle around the situation, but he wants to help us take that trust to the next level. He wants to release some things in us that have nothing to do with the situation, but that are tied to it. Does that make sense? We need to let him be God, even in our prayers. So watch that, friend. And even I have a friend who and I, we were talking about this the other day, and she was saying, there's this one situation that's just been ongoing for over a year now. And she has definitely spoken to the Lord about it, but she's like, I just know that if I keep talking to him about it, I just end up getting anxious, like we were just talking about. And she's like, I just now say one specific sentence to address that situation to remind me of my own heart. This is, again, I'm just saying this, Lord, because you know that I'm upset about it, but then I'm moving on. And when we get to those places in the day when we are thinking about the situation again, she's like, I just have to tell myself, nope, I've already given that to God. And I've definitely seen that true too. We get into these mental patterns. We get into these neurological patterns that we've set up where we've been thinking so much about the situation that it's like, and we just respond in prayer and we're like, oh God, please step in. Oh God, please do this. And we end up just like, again, anxious all the time. When we begin to develop these prayers in our brain or these patterns in our brain, we're just going to naturally kind of slip into these patterns over and over and over. So we have to interrupt the pattern. We have to stop and say, it's okay. Yes, I've prayed about it. And I'm just going to say this one little sentence or something, or just, I've already prayed about it today. I can let it go. God is aware of it. I can let it go. So prayer, keep pursuing in prayer, number one, but watch what the mindset of prayer is like. Okay. Number three, stay connected to the vine. Receive his encouragement and direction through these cloudy waters. Be like that tree in Psalm 1. You stay planted right there. You trust that everything you're going to need to get through this as you walk through it, you don't have to have it all figured out now. You don't need to know the answers. You don't need to know how it's going to be solved. You don't even know how it's going to happen. You just need to sit by that bank and let the river wash over you. Just like a tree that's planted there, it doesn't know exactly when the rain is going to come. It doesn't know exactly how much sun it's going to get in the day, but it's trusted God by planting itself next to the source of water, putting itself in a place where the leaves can get sun. That's what we have to do. We have to be in a position to receive the things that he's going to give us. And we are in that position, we're in that posture through connection with him, Bible reading, being in his word every day, hearing the stories and the promises that are present. We need to hear those things. We need to be strengthened by them. Honest prayer, processing with God, whether that's just aloud or with a journal. There's a practice that I encourage women to do called morning pages, where you just sit down and when you're in these moments of there's a lot of emotions happening in your life, you take a journal and you just write 3 pages. And it's not anything that has to come to any sort of conclusion. It's just literally a brain dump of all the stuff you're feeling. It doesn't even have to make sense. It doesn't even have to be about that. Sometimes if you're like, I don't even know what I'm feeling, just start writing. I don't know what I'm feeling. And you might, you know, get into all these other things, but eventually it's letting go of all of that to God. So we have to have that posture of we are staying connected to him. And that is to receive from him and also to release things that are getting in the way from him. Number four, surrounding ourselves with wise, mature believers who are willing to challenge us and to speak truth into our life. We all want godly people around us who are going to agree with us and say, oh, that's such a great idea, or oh, that's so sad that's happening to you. We all want that little pat on the back. But we also need the other side of it, which is someone who will say, like my friend said, you need to stop striving. Like, we need people who will call us out where we're at, and people who know us well enough and who we trust enough to say, yeah, I want to challenge you in this area as you're thinking about that. So that's another one. Number four, surrounding ourselves with wise, mature believers. Number five, look for God around you. Have the posture of what I call recognizing. Give yourself the mindset of being open and expectant of God. This gives us the awareness that God is in your life. He is active. He's working. And it gives us the ability to persevere. And that mindset of perseverance is so key. He wants to show us he's with us. He loves us. He wants to encourage us. So be open to see it, friend. Be open to see it. Slow down enough to notice it. Write down what you see him doing throughout your day. Big things, little things. Doesn't even have to relate to the situation you're going through. Ponder it. Think about it. Think about the significance of the God of the universe showing himself real to you in these little ways. Tell others about it. This may be an opportunity of witnessing that he's put in your life because of the situation. Thank God for it. Celebrate every little thing. And one way that I do that is when I teach Bible studies, I have recognized as part of this daily practice. So we have receiving God's wisdom through his time in the Word. And then we have recognizing him at work. Recognizing him at work is writing down three specific things that have happened in the last 24 to 48 hours of how we have seen God truly at work in our life. What have we seen him doing? Now, we're not usually talking about things like parting the Red Sea or even very obvious miracles like that. We're talking about what was something that happened that was a teaching moment for you, wasn't a moment of encouragement where someone said something to you that was just like, I really needed to hear that today. Thank you. Or when you received an unexpected blessing, somebody bought a coffee for you in line or something, whatever it could be. It could just be the beautiful sunset that you see at night. And you think, this sunset, there's going to be never another sunset that looks exactly like this. And God is the one who controls all of the comings and goings of my life. And of all of the seasons, everything that happens, he's in control of it. What a gift to be able to see him actively at work, even through something like a sunset. So be aware of God at work. And again, this kind of daily awareness is similar to a gratitude practice, but I think it's much more specific because it allows us to see them as God sightings. And when we see God sightings, when we are in a situation where we feel like, God, are you at work? Are you doing something behind the scenes to fix the situation? Man, that sure encourages us to keep going, to keep trusting, to keep knowing that he is here with us. Okay. Number six, in the same way that we see God working right now, remember and thank God for the times when you saw him show up in the past. Calm your mind, and especially that scared amygdala, that part of you that's the fight or flight syndrome area. Calm that part of your mind that's trying to keep you from getting hurt by rushing ahead and trying to fix. Calm your mind by saying, it's okay. Build that trustworthiness up. Remind yourself of the ways that he has been faithful in the past. David does this in the Psalms as a way to help him release the situation and calm his heart. A lot of times you'll see him enter a psalm with his emotions of what he's upset about. And then he says, yet I remember this and I remember this. And he recalls the times, whether affecting him directly or even, you know, ancestors, other things that he had done for the people of Israel. He recalls those situations. And this calms his heart and reminding him of the character of God. And this is the mental training that's part of our faith. This is the part of mental mindset training. There's a lot of stuff that we can do, but this is one thing that's a real simple habit that we can begin doing to keep ourselves focused on who God is versus the pain of the situation or trying to jump in and fix it. So remembering and thanking God for the times where we saw him show up in the past as a way to encourage us to stay in that posture of active, godly surrender.
Alicia here. If you're tired of feeling never enough, I'm here to tell you, you don't have to stay stuck in the exhaustion of perfectionism, people-pleasing, or trying to prove yourself worthy. What if I told you there's a secret weapon for rewiring your mind to align with God's truth, the proven brain science tool that pro athletes have used for decades and that I've been using with hundreds of Christian women to break free from this idea of feeling never enough? I want to tell you all about it at this workshop, Break Free from Never Enough. Yes, you can find healing from a lifetime of worry, of shame, and striving. Sign up for the Break Free from Never Enough workshop at vibrantchristianliving.com/mind. This workshop is absolutely free. Why wouldn't you join me? Pick a workshop time that works for you at vibrantchristianliving.com/mind. All right, two more. Number seven. Watch the little lies of discouragement that the enemy will try to slip in. Because, oh my gosh, when we are in these places, he knows we're vulnerable. He knows how to wound us. He knows those areas where we're weak. And he will try to throw things at you. So just expect it to happen. But watch for it. And when they come up, be quick to work through them. So you, friend, overall, in this time, need to believe these promises that God is at work, that your prayers are being heard, that this issue is important to God, because that's all biblical truth. And those are some big ones that the enemy will try to throw at you. God isn't at work here. You're not making a difference by praying. This issue doesn't matter to God. He's too busy, whatever. He doesn't care about you. Just because it seems like there's no change on the outside doesn't mean that change isn't happening or that God is not going into action. We honestly are rarely given access to the changes as it's happening. We rarely know about that. It's kind of like a seed that's planted in the ground. It's planted in there, and we really don't know about what's going on under the soil until the little green shoot starts to come up. That's a lot of like how God works. We can trust that underground things are happening and that the fruit will come in some way, and that the path to get to that fruit or that little green shoot, it's rarely the one that we would have predicted or planned. So we have to keep those kind of truths in mind, because those are the areas where I've seen the enemy tends to attack the most, to just discredit who God is, discredit that he cares about us, discredit that he's hearing our prayers. Keep those in mind and be quick to work through them. Now, number eight. Oh, this one is so hard for me, but this is a posture that I've had to learn over and over, and I think I'm getting a little bit better at it, and that is stop trying to predict the verdict. When I try to predict the verdict of what's going to happen, then I very quickly step out of active godly surrender. I just gave you an example of that a second ago when I said, oh God, maybe you should do this and tell this person this, and then they'll be able to see the truth, and then, and all of this, you know, we go down the road. So stop trying to predict the verdict. Now, why do we try to predict the verdict? Because it's another safety mechanism. This is the brain going into safety mode again. It's like, if I know the answer, then I can trust the outcome of sitting right now in this. I'm willing to trust. I'm willing to sit in this uncomfortable spot because, oh, I know it's going to work out. Well, we do know it's going to work out. Think about that for a second. You do know it's going to work out. God is going to work it out. Period. You don't know what he's going to do to work it out. You don't know when he's going to work it out. You don't know how he's going to work it out. But the word is clear that God will work it out. So what if we could sit in that posture that it will be worked out in some way, and we don't need to know the path in order to move forward in this act of surrender? In order to do this, we can walk through a process that I call ADD. This is a great process for managing emotions. We A, acknowledge, we D, discern, and we, the second D, decide. So as we're going through a situation like this, for example, we can acknowledge that it makes sense why we want specific answers. We want to know the entire path laid out. And we can almost thank our brain. Thank you, brain, for recognizing this alert. Thank you for trying to protect us from danger, from getting hurt again. Thank you. Thank you. And then we can move on to the second D, or the first D, which is discern. What's the truth about the situation? The truth is that God is in this. He's trustworthy. He hears my prayers. He loves me.
whatever truth your mind needs to hear. This is true about the situation. He loves the other person. And what's not true about the situation? Well, it's not true that I'm left alone to manage this, that God doesn't care. It's not true that he's not on it, that he's not capable. The brain is looking for comfort. We want to comfort the brain in this moment. So when we move forward into deciding, we can say, I'm going to be okay. Because of these truths, I can let go of this fear. I can once again lean into surrender. I can lean into trust. I can let go. It's safe for me to let go. It's understandable why I feel like this, but it's safe for me to let go. And that's the simple exercise that we can do as part of this ongoing mental training that we only are able to work through when we're in the middle of these battles. Again, another reason why God may walk us through these battles. This kind of mental training is the kind of exercises we can do when we try to predict the verdict. We try to freak out and solve it on our own. We can do this. We can use, that's the active part. We can use our brain to decide what we're going to focus on, acknowledging it, discerning the truth, and deciding what we're going to focus on, where we're going to dwell. We've talked about a lot today. I know we've covered a lot of ground, and I want to close this by talking again about that phenomenon of not being able to surrender to God because there has been some sort of question behind the scenes. There's some sort of doubt in his love, some sort of feeling like you're not enough, feeling like you don't deserve it. There's been some big thing that you've either done or has been done to you where you feel shamed, you feel separated from God. There's a lot of things that can keep us separated. And sometimes they're really obvious things that have happened. And sometimes they're just little tiny death by a thousand toothpicks, as I call them, things that have built up over the years that have now allowed there to be a little bit of a wall. And as God is calling us to surrender and to trust, we're finding ourselves kind of skirting the wall, you know, trying to avoid it. We're just not quite ready to commit. Those things are often the result of subconscious patterns inside us, especially around our identity. These are patterns that have been formed and are our brain's way of answering some key questions, specifically, how am I loved? How am I worthy? And how am I enough? And if a brain has answered those questions by saying, well, I'm enough when I control a situation or when I, you know, I can work hard to fix something, or God doesn't love me unless I do this, or God is far from me, or he isn't trustworthy because of this situation. When there have been these blockages that are inside there on a subconscious level, when we have logical things happening on the outside and we're trying to logically tell ourselves, well, just surrender, just trust, it's not going to work. There's a dissonance happening on the inside. And we have to go in, identify the root cause behind these soundtracks being broken around our worth, around love, around our ability to rest in God and trust in him. We have to find out what's going on there. And we can rewire them literally on a neurological level from the subconscious point of view using something called brain priming. And brain priming is the tool that I used in the Christian Mindset Makeover and in one-on-one coaching to help women use brain science to input God's truth in their hearts. It's a beautiful process. It takes 63 to 67 days. It's a very specific process that we walk you through to get you to the point where you understand what's going on, how to put together a brain priming. We look at it from all these different angles. We work on brain priming in week 5. So by the time you get to week 5, you are ready to be able to create it side by side with me and begin that neurological rewiring. And this thing, this is the thing that changes so many women. These are the why we have such amazing testimonies from women going through the Mindset Makeover, because it is this unique combination of using a brain science tool to put in God's wisdom and truth in a way that it's just was not going in before, because there was this blockage on a subconscious level. There was a different message being heard versus what they're hearing logically. So if you're interested in learning more about that and you're feeling like, I know that some of the reasons why I can't surrender is because there are things inside that I need to process and deal with. There's been some blockages maybe that have been put up, or there's some things that I've told myself that are lies that I've just had a really hard time trying to shake. That is when I want to encourage you to consider working with me. I would love to work with you, learning more about what's going on inside of you. And the best place to start understanding about how you could use a tool like brain priming to be able to rewire these thoughts is a free training that I have. And it's a fabulous training. It's completely free. It's a way to understand why we get stuck in patterns like never enough and how to use brain priming to change those patterns and why brain priming is so different and how we use that in the mindset makeover. So that training is called Break Free from Never Enough. You can find it at my website, vibrantchristianliving.com/mind. And there's all kinds of times where you can join me for a free workshop on how to do that. So go there now and sign up if that's something that resonates with you. I would love to be able to work with you. These are the issues that I love and feel called to work with women around. And I would love to be able to move forward with you. All right, friend. Thank you again for the opportunity to spend time together talking about these really important issues that you are taking the time to invest in learning about yourself, learning about your mind, learning about the power of God's Holy Spirit to change our thoughts, and even the power of brain science to be used as a tool by God and the Holy Spirit to change our thoughts. So thank you for joining me, and I look forward to our conversation next week. See you back here for that. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining me today. Please go to vibrantchristianliving.com and click on podcast to get the full show notes and more info on the resources that we talked about in today's episode. And don't forget to subscribe and to leave a 5-star rating and review in your favorite podcast player. Thanks. I'll see you back here next week.